Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Thanks for staying with us, everybody. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that's bringing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have a very familiar guest on the air with us. His name is Paul Preston. He is the president of the New California Movement. He also has the popular talk show Agenda 21 Radio. We'll be talking about all those things here before we're done. But most importantly, we're going to be talking about the condition of the Oroville Dam and the threats, the existential threats that are being posed right now at the dam, while the state of California is probably hoping for the worst. Before we get started with Paul, though, I want to remind everybody that this program is brought to you by a few special organizations that make this possible. One, HideWithDave.com, Virtual Shield. Listen, don't let the people track where you're going online. And the reason I say that, ladies and gentlemen, is because someday persecution could turn into prosecution if the wrong people are in charge. And they can also keep people out of your computer, identity theft negated, and you can get started with Virtual Shield for less than $3 a day. Go to HideWithDave.com. That's HideWithDave.com. We're also brought to you by the best storable food company in the world. We call PrepareWithDave.com. And listen, with all that's going on, can you really say that you're not going to need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, medicine, tools, so forth? Can you really say that? I don't think anyone can honestly say that today. Well, we can get you started at a great discount. Restaurant quality, 25-year shelf life. It's the best deal in America. Go to preparewithdave.com. And then finally, ladies and gentlemen, excuse me, we are looking at a situation, and I better take a drink here. We're looking at a situation where you could be like my great-grandparents. You could go to the bank one day, and you could be wealthy, and you have nothing. Nothing. Real estate's gone. Bank account's gone. And you got a $22 trillion debt that's overarching our economy right now. Can you say that's not going to happen? Well, you don't keep all your money in the bank. That's why. You convert it to precious metals. The people at Noble Gold can do that. They also can help you with your pension. Pensions are dead men walking unless you've got something to back it up. That's why I like the Goldback Roth IRA brought to you by Noble Gold. They're going to talk to you about both of these things. And you say, well, Dave, I'm only 25. I don't need to worry about that. You want to pay into something you're never going to see? That's why you want to give these people a call. 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. The links for all of these will be in the description box following the broadcast. Well, Paul Preston, we have done numerous interviews on the Oroville Dam, numerous interviews on the attempted takeover of California by subversive forces, both foreign and domestic, and we've done numerous interviews on the politics of California. Well, we're going to kind of hit all those today, but we're going to start with the Oroville Dam. Paul, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us.
Well, Dave, thanks for having me on.
Well, Paul, I'm getting communications from people up in your area that tell me the Oroville Dam is mission critical. The water levels are higher. The runoffs are going to increase with the rising temperatures. The main spillway is completely compromised. Where do we start with all this?
Well, you know, your listeners are basically saying the same thing that all of my cohorts around here. I live right in the shadow of the dam, and you know, we've done a lot of research. I've probably been up there in the last month and a half about 30 times at least, and we've done a great deal of amount of investigation and photography of all the circumstances around the dam. And as you were saying before, that things are not being as advertised from the California Department of Water Resources and the state of California. And right now, the way the dam sets at the level that we're talking about right now, it's at about 883 feet. That's the height. The dam itself is a 922 feet. The actual dam structure But in order to prevent the earthen dam from overtopping, they have a fairly simple emergency spillway situation and a main spillway situation to prevent overtopping. And the overtopping level for the what's called the OG weir, and that's O-H-G-E-E, OG weir is the way it's pronounced. It's a weir situation, which is basically like a small dam. That sits at the level of 901 feet. And people need to understand the magnitude of this dam. It's 3.5 million acre feet of water. It's one of the largest dams in the world. It's an earthen dam, and the risk of overtopping hasn't been this close since the February 11th date, 2017, when the dam actually did overtop. And I was one of the few people that was actually standing on top of the dam when it was overtopping, and that was the first and only time it's ever overtopped. But right now, it looks like we're about 17 to 18 feet away from that overtopping. And if, by the way the water is coming in, the rate at which the inflows and outflows go, we could see an overtopping within a week. And that would spell extreme danger. This is something that has been repeatedly told to us and told to the public boldly and strongly that this would never happen. And here it is. We're just really less than 20 feet from it happening. So this is a critical moment. And clearly, everybody in the state of California, anybody in the world, has been bald-faced, lied to by the California Department of Water Resources. And you know, you look at the way they've lied, what they've done, the way they rolled out the whole spillway situation. You really have to wonder if this isn't criminal, a very big criminal act, right going on. And we hope that it's not. We hope that they can wake up tomorrow and. The spillways, you know, really rushing the water out at, you know, 150,000 cubic feet per second, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, and by the way, looking at the rate of water that would have to come off the spillway right now or tomorrow to try and prevent the overtopping would probably mean they'd have to be at that 150 level, 150,000 cubic feet per second. And right now, they can't even run 1,000 feet off of it.
What do you mean they can't run 1,000 feet off of it? And 1,000 feet is compared to what?
Well, 1,000 cubic feet per second, it doesn't look like they can even run that much, let alone 150,000. And by the way, the dam was designed for 269,000 cubic feet per second. That's what the spillway was designed for. Now, this is the spillway that actually ruptured in 2017 on February 7th when the plates on the spillway popped out because there was water built up behind the spillway through the mountain that had seeped through from the Lake Orville through the mountain to the spillway. It popped it out. When they started running water over the spillway, it creates a suction very similar to like a foil on an airplane wing. When you know the air goes over the top of it, it creates lift. It does the same thing with water over the top of the spillway. It creates lift, and when it did that, it sucked a lot of water in from the dam behind it through the soil and pushed out the plates, and it created a huge hole, and that huge hole created a canyon literally, and we almost lost the dam by February 12th. And that is, we're in a very similar situation right now. We've never been this high on the spillway or under these circumstances. It has gone to this level before, but under these circumstances, never before. Right now, there really is a damaged spillway because when they opened up and built the spillway and replaced it, they didn't do some fundamentals, and that was to repair or prevent the water from seeping from the lakeside through the mountainside to the back of the spillway. So when you have water seeping through like that, it creates a lot of pressure behind it. And when you run the water over the spillway, you can see what happens. You get a combination of water pressure sucking it up and water pressure from behind pushing it out. And so when they rebuilt the spillway, they spent $1.5 billion doing this. Mountains of concrete and rebar and everything. They had a big dramatic opening on April 2nd, and they brought the amount of water down. They started it out very slowly at 2,000 to 4,000 and working it up, which is a, you know, pretty good way to do things. And pretty soon they started running more and more water over it, and some people say they started to test it. They actually advertised that they would be doing some testing on it, and they came out and said maybe some of the levels would be as high as 60,000 cubic feet per second on the test. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, they ran it over time, and they started getting a lot of harmonic vibrations underneath the dam itself, which meant that the soil was liquefying underneath it and drawing in a lot of water. And we filed a lawsuit at the time because we wanted them to cease using explosives around the spillway as part of their construction project, and because that created a lot of vibrations and so on, so much so that the United States Geological Survey actually had recordings of small earthquakes that were recorded, very clearly recorded, by the USGS around the exact same spots where these explosions had been set during the construction. Well, that weakens the soil, you know, the actual soil that they were building the spillway on. And of course, when you brought the water over, when you built the spillway, you brought the water over, you created the vibrations. It just served as a way to take the harmonic, you know, the harmonic vibrations and basically shake the spillway. And what happened was when they started driving the water at such a high rate above, you know, 10 to 15,000, it appears as if, and we have real good reason to believe based upon our research and people that we've talked to, that what it did is that these vibrations really started to shake the plates that are on the very top of the dam, which is really reinforced concrete. It's quite a marvel, actually, but the pressure building behind created lift and air underneath the spillway combined with water, started causing some up and down movement and sideways movement on the spillway from what we've been told. And basically, it's the way it looks now is there's buckled plates and lots of leaks. Anybody can go on the park system and see the leaks in the spillway. It's massive. And again, spillways are not supposed to be leaking when the water is in the pool behind it. The other part of the problem is the head gates, the radial gates that they're called tainter gates, a type of radial gate that moves up and down. They're supposed to, when the water rises up to the spillway, those gates are closed. And when they want to release water from the pool or the lake, of course, they lift those gates. Well, those gates have been damaged for a long time. They were damaged at the time 2 years ago, and they leak like crazy, and they're very difficult to work up and down because they've never been repaired properly. They never rebuilt those in this $1.1 billion project. And so now they're seriously damaged too. So you have a failed system in the dam, and which is, of course, the spillway system right now as it stands.
Wow. You said a mouthful, and it's so concerning what's going on here. I'm sitting here feverishly trying to take notes, and I want to reflect back to an off-air conversation we had. Can you go back and give the numbers between the discrepancy of what they can expel for water versus what they're taking in?
And well, right now the problem that there's ways in which there's many different ways in which the water can be taken out of the back of the dam, you know, and through the dam. There's a series of tubes, if you will, large tubes that known as penstocks that are up on the side of the dam in the reservoir side, and these penstocks feed turbines in the Hyatt power plant, and there's six of these turbines. And two of these major tubes, the tubes that are down there used to originally be the bypass ducting. So when they were making the dam, they had to, you know, the Feather River still ran. Well, they had to build these tubes to run the Feather River through it. They ultimately became the exhaust ducts for the penstocks that were driving water through the turbines and then out through the exhaust ducts that goes into the Feather River. At the very height, there's another, a ducting system down there too. There's basically three different types of ways you can get water out. The total amount of water that you can get out using the system through the power plant underneath the dam is about 14,000 cubic feet per second. That's the max. But because they have one of the turbines down, they have a valve that's broken, are not really in full operation. The amount of water that can be released is around 10,000 cubic feet per second max. Mm-hmm. And that's really the only way you can get water out. Now, and of course, right now, just a few hours ago, that was reading at about 9,000 cubic feet per second on the outflow side. But water coming in from higher up in the Feather River, there's a series of dams up there. And those, that water up there, would be pushing in about 19 to 24,000 cubic feet per second at this point in time. So there's quite a differential. And we're calculating that at the rate of rise that we're looking at, that probably, and then the level that we're that we have, that the lake will see overtopping within a week, maybe sooner. And that's going to be a problem. It's going to be a big problem because, like I said, in the Feather River, which it feeds into Oroville Dam, there's a whole series of dams up there, and two of the big dams are ready to overtop right now or use their spillways. And that's Lake Almanor, which is the biggest lake in the Sierra Nevadas, actually, that feeds the Feather River. And then Lake Davis, which is in a little tiny town called Portola. And it's really the headwater for the Feather River. And that one is set to overspill. We've been getting reports all day from them about that. So when this starts to go, then there's going to be quite a rush of water through the whole system upstream. It's going to have to go somewhere. It's going to have to go to the lake, obviously, so you could see a rush into the lake.
Let me slow you down just for a minute to help with a layman's interpretation, which I'm wanting.
Sure.
So this water will come from upstream from places like Lake Almanor and Lake Davis. And these dams will send this water downstream, and it will empty out into the lake. Correct?
Correct. And there's okay. another series, but there is a series.
Well,
let me
ask one more question before you go.
Sure.
Because you said earlier the ability from the water to come into the dam is compromised because of problems with the spillway. Am I correct on that?
Okay, to come in, the ability of the water to go through the dam underneath, yes, it's somewhat compromised in that it can only take out to about 10,000 cubic feet when,
correct.
In fact, it was built for 14,000, but it'll never get to the 14,000 because of they have one tube already closed off because one of the turbines isn't working. One of the six turbines is not working.
Okay. So that means that you're looking at a cumulative total now of 19 to 24,000 cubic feet of water coming your way when you can only handle 10. Is that correct?
That's correct. That is absolutely correct.
Okay. And that water will first go into the lake, but the
correct.
Lake will have a spillover into the dam. And is it because the spillway is compromised that you're going to see perhaps a catastrophic effect on the dam?
Well, what happens, yeah, what happens and what almost happened the last time, the dam is built such that the what's called the OG weir, which is part of the emergency spillway system, that if you have a rush of water and you can't use the spillway, the main spillway, the water diverts over to the emergency spillway. And there's a weir-like structure, which is like the top of a dam, so to speak. But it sits at a much lower level. It sits at 901 feet
from the
actual top of the dam. The top of the dam is around 922 feet high. And so the hope is you'll never be able, you know, it was built so that you'd never, ever have an overtopping of the dam, right? Because it's an earthen dam, and of course that would be really catastrophic. But the problem is that in the case of the last time, they had this, they used the emergency spillway, which had never been used before. The water came cascading down on the 11th, and it started to eat away the soil in front of the OG weir, which is the part of the mountain. And when it did that, it created a scenario of head cutting. And that head cutting, I could see on the 11th, it was blatantly obvious it was happening, but they didn't take any action until actually being caught in the act of trying to hide it and cover up by the sheriff, Corey Honey, the next day at 3 p.m. And that's when Honey realized they were about to lose that OG weir, and then ultimately the carving out of the hillside would endanger the spillway, which would endanger the dam, and you'd lose the entire dam.
Okay, now, I'm assuming that you have brought in experts that have consulted on these water flows and have and they're aware of the capacity of the dam, and you think you have a week until this overflow of the 19 to 24,000 cubic feet of water comes your way and you can only expel 10.
Well, that number, by the way, can change. I gave you a number that's based on a couple hours old. Depending upon heat, remember we have 150% of snowpack right now up there.
Right.
And that snowpack's got to melt. And if we have extremely hot days like we have had over the last couple of weeks, then what happens is that that snowpack melts faster. So it would not be uncommon to see water that would be coming in as an inflow of 30 to 35,000. I've seen it as high as 40,000 feet per second. And you're only able to get out 10,000.
Man. So you're looking, your estimate from people you talk to, I assume, you're thinking you have a week.
Yes, I'd say less than a week at this rate. Unless there's, unless they're not telling us something, unless they actually can use the spillway. The problem is that people are becoming much more suspicious that you can't use the spillway based upon all the leaks and based upon they've been trying to repair things at nighttime, hiding from the public. Everybody sees it. There's cameras and people go out there, take pictures and watch these guys. They're trying to put grout in the seams of these big plates. Well, that's basically like putting lipstick on a pig. Just washes right off, and then you're back. It just continues to leak. It's interesting. They've been trying to seal them up, and then the next day for a couple hours, it seals up, but then the water just pops right through and seeps through. That shows you how damaged it is. But
you sent
we
me
would
pictures.
All like it if they could run the water.
Last week, you sent me pictures taken, I believe, by Scott Cahill, and what you see in the cement in the spillway, it looks like water bubbling up from the bottom up. I see water seeping through on these pictures. Am I correct in interpreting that as water and leakage?
That's water and leakage that's coming up through the spillway. It's not supposed to be there. None of that water is supposed to be on. It's supposed to be dry.
Yeah.
If the gates are properly sealed, but they can't be, then this dam, because they're broken, which is called a dam failure in and of itself. But in improperly sealed dams, those tainter gates are shut, and there's very little seepage that comes out from them. And there's never any seepage that comes from behind the cement of the spillway, through this, leaking through the spillway. And, you take the problem is like we were all clamoring, we were called nutcases. But the bottom line, we've been saying the first thing you need to do to repair that dam is fix those holes and fix the water that pours out from the backside. Well, they never did that. In fact, we have pictures when they first started constructing it, the same holes that caused the problem, or the same porting system where water was coming from the backside, that same system was never repaired. And we have pictures from the time the big hole opened up to the time they put their first roller compacted concrete together, with a big seeps right through the cement, the roller compacted concrete over a year ago. But they never did anything about it. And of course, they laid down before the water even got on there, and they got the dam finished, and the water started to rise behind the dam itself. It started leaking right through the brand new spillway. We have pictures of it, brand new, never used, and the water's leaking right through it. It's called the definition of insanity.
Are there any other mechanical, timing, structural issues that we need to go over?
Well, one of the big ones is that the emergency spillway, which they've, I'm really glad they put the concrete and everything down, but one more thing, there was a hole underneath the OG weir where water was pouring from the lakeside underneath it through the soil. And that has never been fixed. And guess what? They put all this roller compacted concrete through there, and it's seeping right through that concrete. And you can see it seeping on the cameras. It's not hidden. And of course, what they've been telling us is, quote, this is all kind of normal. It's not normal. It's not normal. And, So what we have is a situation with now that there looks like they put in a secant cutoff wall down at the bottom, which was helpful. But that water coming down at such high rate and velocity. I mean, listen, Dave, I was there. I watched this water come over the spillway. It was going 70 to 80 miles an hour over the spillway and then down onto the dirt. Now, what it'll do now is go over the spillway, and there's a sort of a stair-step ladder effect. They're going to try and dissipate the energy of the water on the stair-step ladder effect, which is true. That's the right thing to do. But the bottom line is that water is going to go down the hill. It's going to get to pass that so-called secant cutoff, and then it's going to get into dirt again. So you have about a half a mile. The water has to run in dirt before it gets to the river. Now, really, what could possibly go wrong there? Well, it's going to eat a huge cavity, a huge crevasse through that dirt all the way down to the river, and then what do you have? It's going to cut off again. It's going to start crumbling that. The water is going to get underneath it into the sides, and it's going to start cutting off the water and breaking up that spillway. So the possibility of the main spillway being endangered from that, which is will be very, very real, and the possibility of losing the OG weir and the main spillway is very, very real.
So if you lose the OG weir, your spillways are totally compromised. That's like your last line of defense. Am I right?
That's correct. And they're using that apparently now. And I hope I'm wrong. I want to be wrong. I hope there's some sort of big things that's going to happen here. But the only thing we see, and I'm not the only one. I was on a conference call with our own New California people, and all the people in that area were laying out the story, including me. I mean, I can see what's going on. We have a lot of people combing the area, and we have a lot of people now starting to surface that have been working up there saying there's something really wrong because they're not telling the truth. So that's kind of where we're getting a lot of our news, and I trust these people. Listen, we've never been wrong about any of this. We've been 100% accurate. You know, it's different for a lot of people. You know, we have people who like to fly around in airplanes and pontificate about what they see, but they don't live, you know, in the inundation zone like I do. My life depends on this, as well as, you know, maybe a million other Californians. We are concerned, and we do not trust what happened 2 years ago, and we have very little faith in how it's been handled ever since. I mean, radically open speculation, even by the press in the April 2nd press conference, when basically I think the press people that were there, of note, by the way, basically called them all liars. How can we trust you? It was the big theme. And again, here we are. We're just, at 883 feet and growing. And it was never spelled out to any of us in any of their messaging, any of their emails, any of their communications, that it would ever get to this level without the use of the main spillway. And so far, they've allowed it to get to this level. They shut off the main spillway in a panic, basically, that was pretty obvious about. And I think they had about a 7 or 8 day run. And it was pretty obvious there was problems, especially after they shut it off, because they did some very mysterious things. Rather than shut it completely down, they ran a layer of about 6 inches of water over the entire spillway. And we all saw what was going on, because some of the parts of the spillway were actually popping up through the water level, about 6 inches of water. So we realized right away that at that point in time, we had plates that were actually damaged and rising up above the water level, and you could actually see the seams at that point. And those things are supposed to be laying flat, very flat. I mean, you don't want them, and they're designed to take the water. There's a little depression in the end of them so that they water doesn't cause that rising. But when you have so many pounds per square feet and that water running over the top of it, it creates that lift, and with the water behind it, it's a disaster. So yeah, they've got problems, and no one trusts them. And quite frankly, we have been here saying that this is going to happen, and it's happening, and they've been not communicating with the public, letting us feel any safer. That's the thing. And everybody's clamoring, why are they doing this, you know? Well,
this is absolutely insane. I mean, there's no two ways about this. It's absolutely insane. There's, from our discussions before, you know, I'm going to back up, Paul. I'm going to give you a story I was told, and this will probably go nowhere, and then I'll dismiss it, and we'll move back to the facts. I have a source that lives in, let's say, the Rocky Mountain area, okay, and I'm trying hard not to identify them, because they're fearful. They have someone close to them who is aware that there are body bags stored 50 miles outside Atlanta, and they came across this quite by accident, and it said Oroville on the headers when you come in, and they had it labeled. Do you have any inkling at all that anywhere someone is preparing for a mass casualty event at the dam? That's what I'm saying here.
There is the only inkling that we have is that the mysteries of mysteries is that there's absolutely no evacuation protocols or procedures that have been put in place ever since the last disaster. The only one to do any real work on this is the sheriff of Butte County, Corey Honey, and just lately the sheriffs in Sutter Inn, who are newly elected and very conscious of this. They're doing everything they can to get the safety words out in Yuba County and Sutter County. Those sheriffs are doing a fantastic job. But, you know, it's kind of like too little too late. And so it's basically just like it was up there in the campfire in Paradise, which is right next door to it. I mean, we're only talking just really the Feather River separates the dam from Paradise Fire. So there was no warning there either. No early warning system that worked or anything like that. It was one person at a time going from door to door to warn people. And right now there's no real early warning system. They did just recently check they ran a check on the cell phone system, which nobody knows about. You know, that's the other thing. Nobody does know about it. And these two sheriffs up here tried it, and I know they're trying to do some strategies to get more information out. But there is no real plan. The Office of Emergency Services, we've done investigations of the local, they're called the Offices of Emergency Services. There's the Cal Office of Emergency Services. It does absolutely nothing. Nothing, Dave. They have no contingencies, no plan. They don't run around and help the public, you know, be aware of things. The cities and the counties out here, they all have these offices of emergency services. They do absolutely nothing. They don't communicate to the public. They don't let the public know what's going on. It's just basically looking for a mass disaster to happen and don't tell the public it's going to happen.
Yeah. Listen, I don't want to chase a rumor that you can't prove, but I did want to do this, Paul. I wanted to put it out there in the public. So if something does happen, we have complicity, culpability, and there's people we can go after. And listen, I'm going to get more information on this. I actually have people on the trail of this right now as we speak. So this won't stay at this status. But right now, we'll hold it aside. It's an unproven, unfounded rumor. But I am really, really concerned. And now you're kind of confirming the indifference in California towards mm-hmm. human life. Let's talk about overtopping. Let's say in a week to 10 days, whatever the time is, that 19 to 24,000 cubic feet wave now comes down and the spillway can't handle it and the dam starts to be overtopped and the water goes, what, to 920 feet, I would guess, to be overtopped. What happens to the dam at that point when there's overtopping?
Well, I don't think the dam, where it's going to overtop is the OG Weir.
Okay.
And it's not, I don't think it's ever going to get to the, it'll never, there's just no possibility it's going to do that. What it will do though, is as you look at the dam and you look to off to the left past the dam structure and you see the spillway, that whole emergency spillway system will carve out a huge cavern and the lake will drain there. And then it possibly, the real problem that they face right now, this is a legitimate problem, is that as we've been hearing from people, that when they were testing this thing, apparently at 60,000 cubic feet per second, that's when the harmonics got terrible, and it basically shook the heck out of that the spillway to the point where it damaged it badly. And this is what we're being told. And they can no longer use that. If, in fact, they try and use that spillway, it could come apart. And if the whole spillway could come apart. And if it comes apart, then it's going to carve a channel right underneath the spillway, very similar to what we saw with the spillway that was going on with it. They called it Croyle Canyon, the canyon that was carved off on the side of the spillway. But this one will act as sort of like a buzzsaw and carve into that mountain, causing the collapse of the mountain, which could cause the left abutment of the dam to collapse in on it. And that would be absolute disaster. That's a realistic possibility. If in fact the theory is that the spillway has been damaged so badly and then they're forced to run water over the spillway, then it's going to be a bigger disaster. That's when they'll lose the left abutment of the dam for sure.
And then that water would come out the same as if the dam had broken itself.
Exactly.
In the main section. But won't the erosion of this rushing water that gets through this breach, won't it spread to destabilize the dam where the dam will eventually go as well?
Yes, that's exactly what the scenario. It would start the dam itself would start to erode from, as you're looking at it, on the left abutment.
Oh boy. The one thing, I got to stop here, take a real quick break here, because the final segment of this program is brought to you by Noble Gold. And listen, folks, don't trust your money in the bank, all of it. Don't trust your pension, all of it. Call the good people at Noble Gold who are sponsoring the last segment of the show. They will hook you up. They'll talk to you. No obligation, no pressure. And I got to tell you, folks, I trust them. You should too. 877-646-5347. The link is also in the description box. Paul, going back to this, and we're talking with Paul Preston here, the president of the New California Movement, as well as the host of Agenda 21 Radio. If you can figure this out, you and good people like Scott Cahill, who's an expert, if you guys can figure this out, my question is, where the hell are the feds, and why aren't they coming in to intervene right now?
That's a very good question, and we're doing all that we can to make sure that we can get this stopped and whatever way that we can do this. I'm not going to discuss what we're doing because I can't, but we're doing whatever we possibly can do to mitigate it, stop it, prevent these things from happening. And we'd like to see competent federal officials come in and take this over, because it's very, very clear that the incompetence and even willful intent by some that appears to be the case with the California Department of Water Resources and the state of California is really very overwhelming. It's very convincing. I mean, if you don't care for your people, prepare for your people to be safe. I mean, what are you doing there? You're just setting them up for, mass, casualty events.
Absolutely.
And that's what, if you take a look at the fires that we had, it's pretty obvious that these fires were mass casualty events, and that some of them by design, because people took money that was supposed to be used for, clearing the brush and everything and taking care of the forest, and they use it for other things. And then here in the dam, they did the same thing during the years of the so-called drought. They took that money that was supposed to be used for maintenance and repairs of the dam, Oroville in particular, and spent it on, as we know, the illegal foreign nationals that have come across the border. So, that cost $1.1 billion to repair, but and the federal government picked up most of the tab on that. And the thing that's happening here in this situation right now, talk about disaster capitalism, is that if this dam was to go and they'd lose the whole dam, the estimate that we've been given is between $100 and $125 billion the state of California would able to glean from the federal government. But the hook is, it has to be from a natural disaster. And quite frankly, it's not going to come from a natural disaster now in particular, because claims are being made that the spillway has been constructed poorly or engineered poorly. I think it's not necessarily the construction company, as it is the engineering company that gave it a fatal design. So now I think that's off the table for them to be able to claim that money. So California will technically go bankrupt just on that. But they want to see, they're by design, they'd like to see this happen. You know, their one pitch would be that the federal government would give California $125 billion. And again, you probably have heard California is desperate for cash right now as we speak. And that's just sort of the way the money game's played. So
let me sum this up here. What you're saying is the broke-back bastards that run California, the liberal communist Democrats,
right,
are going to make money if the dam fails. In other words, they get to stay in power and have their budgets by endangering everybody else.
That's what they've been doing with the fires all along. We've been seeing that. That's what Trump called them out on. You know, Trump didn't give, hasn't given them the $9 billion on fire relief to the state of California. They've held that up. Another one directly related to the dam, FEMA, the federal government paid California for about 75% of the dam replacement for this $1 billion. But the problem is that they held off for about $330 million. And the reason is because it wasn't the headworks in particular were caused by their own incompetence in not maintaining the dam properly. So they're choking on that. They need that $330 million. Then there's the other thing that came up just the other night that people have been telling me, and I don't have a strong confirmation on this, although I've had some people that are, you know, talking about it, investigating as to whether or not the contractors have even been paid by the state of California because they're broke. We're getting this all the time, is that contractors are at least 5 to 6 months in some places in the rear is being paid by the state of California.
How does that compromise the safety?
Well, they take the money that's supposed to be used for preventative maintenance and they use it on other things, like illegal foreign nationals. And that's what happened at Oroville. They could have spent anywhere from $5 to $6 million over a 3-year period and kept those plates and everything sealed up. They chose not to. They spent that money diverted by Jerry Brown on other things. Now, here's another little twist, is that the company Kiewit, who's been in charge of building this spillway, was just given a contract last week of about $18 billion for a preliminary contract for the removal of 4 dams along the Klamath River. This is this dam removal thing that they've
I'm
all been
aware
about.
Of that. Yes, I am.
Yeah, Jerry Brown in particular hires Bruce Babbitt, you know, who wants to do this. They come up here not too far from my house, actually, Englebright, and made the pronouncements that they're going to tear down these dams. I mean, when you start listening to that and you start realizing they're here to tear down dams, you realize there's a bigger thing going on.
Well, Paul, there's an agricultural impact, and let me tell you, I know about this from talking to people like Barb Peterson, who have told me that if they take these dams out, the damage will be so bad to the topsoil, agriculture will be gone, the only thing that will grow will be algae, and this will affect food supplies.
Right. Oh, yeah, especially here in this area. We've covered this territory. This is the largest single producing area for rice in the world in one place. And we also, and I mean, so the famine potential for millions of people around the world for 3 to 5 years is enormous. But the other part of it is that we have an apiary up here that produces this. It's the single largest producer of queen bees for the entire world. It'd be gone.
The other thing I would say to this, too, and again, let me put on my conspiracy hat, okay, let the people make fun of me, but the jet stream has dropped to abnormally deep levels, and winter is continuing, and 1 million acres or more and 1 million cows or more in the Midwest are gone.
Right.
And a lot of people say it's weather wars, and we certainly have the technology. I've published the patents on thecommonsenseshow.com. And it's just, are we looking, in your opinion, when we connect the dots here, are we looking at compromising the nation's food supply to destabilize the nation?
It obviously, just looking at the evidence at hand right now, you'd have to say yes. I mean, you just can't deny. You know, the other day I was making a speech in along the coast, and we were talking about something that was a very, very sensitive thing, but it was historically correct. And in the room was an actual history professor at the university system. And that, and this is the where we're at here. When you look at the facts, you get them on the table, they're the facts, and you can't deny it. And right now, what you're talking about, what I'm talking about, if the things play out like they are, and we're real close to this, it's going to destabilize a food production in the United States, especially what's happening in Nebraska and all that area that's been going on, and plus the, all the other things that are happening. Yeah, there's a potential that's enormous. The facts are the facts, and you can't deny them.
Thank God. So this even goes beyond Orville. Well, let's get to the cataclysm. And we've covered this before, but we have new people coming on. Thanks to my new webmaster, Mark Donnie, this fantastic job. We're seeing, we've increased our web numbers in April by 300%. And it helps when you're not being sabotaged. So we have a whole new audience. And they may not have heard what you and I have discussed before. Okay, there's a breach on the side of the dam through the OG Weir, and the water is going to rush out there just the same as if the dam was broken and overtopped. What happens next? This water comes rushing through. Talk to me about speed and danger.
Well, there's some ranges. You know, it would start as, and people can go and look at dam breaches. And over the years, look at the Teton Dam breach, which, by the way, the dam itself at the Teton was an earthen dam, and they were filling it up. It was rising, 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 and the water was getting right to the top, and all of a sudden, water started coming out from the left abutment, go figure, and the water came out and flooded a huge area in Wyoming, I think, in the Teton area. Anyway, the interesting thing is that dam was built by Kiewit, the same company that's doing the rebuild here in Oroville, and just got that contract. That was back in the 1970s. So, you know, that's just a little side note to everything else that's out there. But the real deal is that we, you know, just looking at the base facts, Dave, this looks pretty obvious that this is going to happen. We don't want it to happen. We'd like them to say, oh, we're going to open up the spillway gates and everything's safe and be a believer. But as the days go on, the likelihood of this becoming a disaster is enormous. Now, what will happen is water will come tumbling down the hill. Like I said, it's going to be 70, 80 miles an hour. I saw that. It wouldn't change much from what I witnessed on the 11th of February. And it would wipe out the town of Oroville probably within a matter of 30 to 40 minutes. That would take, you know, several thousand people. And if people were caught on the roadway, like what happened in the case of 2 years ago, there were 190,000 people on the roadways that were all stuck. They would have died. They would have drowned. Water will go and fill up the valley there, across all the way to I-5 from Oroville, inundating under maybe 20, 30 feet in some places. My house would, it's been estimated, I'd be sitting under 24 feet from the top of my house of water. That's in Yuba City, California. The inundation zone and water would go all the way past Sacramento. And now we've had estimates that it's going to stop about 40 miles past Sacramento, but that's what the inundation map shows that we have. The evidence indicates by calculations that with this water, they would probably go into Stockton and flood Stockton, which is in the Delta. And, of course, it would take out many places in the Delta and harm the Delta as well. So this is a major disaster waiting to happen. By the way, government officials working in Sacramento, they could lose their lives, too, because that's going to be about 20 to 25 feet. And if they did it, I watched this whole thing, a coordinated event, on the 12th, when this whole thing started going down, I was watching the cameras in Sacramento at the river, the Sacramento River going through Sacramento, and the water would levee top to levee top. So if they had lost the dam, then that water would have come crashing into Sacramento, wiping out a lot of lives. So,
how long till it reaches Sacramento, which is what, 70 miles to the south?
From the dam, yeah, about 70 miles. And I would say that probably it would be 90 minutes by the time it, well, it would affect the river right away. You'd get flooding probably within 20, 30 minutes because the river would rise like crazy and go over the banks because the river's right now at the top of the banks. And of course they have these other areas out there, the Yolo Bypass area, which is a huge place by Davis of where they impound water so that the levees won't overtop, in Sacramento. That's like an ocean out there. You drive from West Sacramento to Davis and you're going across to the causeway. That's like an ocean right now.
Paul, we're almost out of time, and I got to tell you, let me just put a number on it. Would it be a gross overestimation to say that a million people could lose their lives in this scenario?
It would be a fair estimation, and it might be more.
Oh my gosh, terrible. Paul, we're going to have you back to talk about New California. I wanted to get to that tonight, but this is so critical, so important, and I appreciate you staying on this topic. In the few seconds we have left, tell people how they can listen to your fine show.
Well, Agenda 21 Radio is on Red State Talk Radio. You can hear me live Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 Pacific, and of course that's 9 to noon. Yes. And we emanate out of the studio here, Studio 21 in California, and we broadcast by Red State Talk Radio out of Washington, D.C., and of course the new California state. We're going into our fourth constitutional convention. The president is aware of what we're doing, and we're very, very thrilled that he's monitoring what we're doing in terms of progress for New California.
So am I. So am I. And I've been tracking your progress, and it's been fantastic. But we will do another broadcast shortly to update people on what's going on there. But given the critical nature of what you're dealing with the Oroville Dam, I thought it was important that we deal with this. Paul, we are flat out of time. We're right up against it. Thank you so much for joining us, and keep fighting the good fight. And God protect all the people in the Central Valley.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Take care. Thank you.